So as we've been going through Revelation on Sunday mornings, if you haven't been here, we've been going through Revelation. It's been pretty crazy. It's good. Revelation's so good. But it's a lot of surprising things, a lot of things that we see and go, ooh, I'd like to know more about that. And one of the things that keeps popping up is angels. Angels are everywhere in Revelation. So many scenes with angels. Angels in their relationship with the church. Angels around the throne praising the King of Kings. And so this year, we're just going to take a couple of weeks to focus on Advent, the life of Christ, and angels. Angels are part of every culture. In some cultures, they worship angels. Some cultures, they worship angels, and they don't know they're worshiping angels. That bumper video with the angel statue, that could have been filmed anywhere, right, on the planet, because there's angel statues everywhere. When my Aunt Bobby passed away back in June, in her little teeny tiny postage stamp backyard, she had a huge flower bed filled with every kind of hosta you've ever seen, and just interspersed with angels. She was a single mom with six kids, and she just loved the fact that God had people, angels, looking out for her. And this is not going to be a series, everything you ever wanted to know about angels and were afraid to ask. As a matter of fact, I read Hebrews 1:14 so many times this week. Angels, all angels are ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation. So if it's in your plans to inherit salvation, there are angels ministering to you. Wow. I wonder what an angel did for you this morning. Wow. I mean, just if you drive on Rayford Road, you got to have a ministering spirit looking out for you. So we won't go into all that. I mean, 305 times in my NIV Bible, the word angel. So we could go deep and wide about that. We won't be talking about the different beings that might be angels, seraphim, cherubim, archangels, the angel of the Lord. There are hierarchies of angels found at the bottom. Thrones, powers, dominions, principalities, powers, rulers, and authority. And there's evil mixed in with those as well. Wow. This vast unseen realm that we can't begin to fathom. But we're not going into all that. Believe it or not, in the Middle Ages, there was a question that theologians and philosophers argued and debated endlessly. I mean, it went deep. You've heard the question that was debated. How many angels can dance on the head of a pin? Yes, that was a hotly debated question in the Middle Ages. The answer is somewhere between one and a few million, in case you were wondering. glad I could help. But we won't be talking about that either. It's Advent, it's Christmas, and angels are everywhere. So we'll talk about angels and Jesus. That's really what it's going to be. Angels and the birth of Jesus. Angels and the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. That's all going to be one sermon. That's a very long title. And then we'll talk about angels and Jesus' return. And if you're wondering why, yes, Revelation, but what big life question that is burdening you do angels answer? Like, every sermon should scratch an itch, right? And really, I just want to spend Advent encouraging you. This season can be difficult, right? There's people you miss, you wish were around. I was talking with someone, and you know, it's the time of the year when there's people that we wish were around, and he was like, yeah, and there's also people we wish weren't around. But I'm like, no, that's not how we talk about Christmas. it's just well known that Christmas can be a discouraging time. It's busy. But the other reason is pastors are notorious, preachers are notorious for over-exhorting and under-encouraging, right? Preachers are always telling you what to do. And so I don't want to tell you what to do. I just want to encourage you. I want to over-encourage and not exhort. So this morning, I just want to introduce what angels do best. Now, the word angel, angelos, in the Greek New Testament means messenger. Every time you run into an angel, he's delivering a message. They're Jesus messengers. So maybe that's what they do best. It's in their name. But I think the other thing they do best is they worship. So many times in Scripture, you see them praising their king, praising the Lord. And so I just want to talk today about angels and worship, because it's Christmas, and this will bring together the major themes of Christmas: music, angels, and angels and music, right? We mark Christmas season. We mark Advent with music, right? Like, if you want to start a fight, when can you start listening to Christmas music? Colleen Erke will tell you, any time you feel like it. Because we're good people, and we can listen to it in July if we want to, right? But we talk about walking into Hobby Lobby or walking into Home Depot, and there's the Christmas trees, and it's not Halloween yet, right? And we go, what's going on? But you know when it really goes down is when they start playing the Christmas music, right? They put up the decorations before, but when the music kicks in, oh, we're in, we're there, right? The season and the music seem to go hand in hand. What other season gets so many playlists on Spotify? Like, honestly, you can probably name three Easter songs. And it's the resurrection of Jesus, for crying out loud. And yet, you could probably make a long list. Like, I put together all of my favorite Christmas songs and played it in the car for my wife and youngest daughter the other day. And they hated it. They hated every bit of it. But that's fine. There's plenty more, right, where that comes from. And did you watch the lighting of the Christmas tree at Rockefeller Center the other night? My goodness. 79 feet tall, 12-ton tree, 8 decades old. 50,000 lights. 50,000 lights. Like, who untangled that? Holy cow. There's opening up the Tupperware, whatever, you know, untangling the lights. The star on top, 900-pound star. Like, I can't get my few-ounce star to stand up straight. Oh, it's leaning this way. It's leaning that way. 900 pounds, a crane made of crystal, 70 points, something like 3 million crystals in this thing. Oh, my goodness. And what did they play when it was lit? Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. You can't help it, right? And they even went into joy, verse 2, joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. So you got people who don't give 2 cents about God or Jesus, and they're singing the gospel. It's so tricky. I love it. Yeah. And then, I don't know if you've seen, there's a road that leads up to the tree, and if you're standing at, I don't know if it's a road, but whatever, it's between the buildings for a couple of blocks, it leads up to the tree, and it's lined with these giant angels playing trumpets. Just like, you see the tree and the angels, and it's like, do you guys realize what you're doing? Do you realize what you're in the middle of? And so, we sing over and over and over and over again. The Bible tells us to sing. And we just so are ready to oblige the command at Christmas. And the one topic we can't help but sing about is angels. We sing about angels, right? Such an important part of the story. I mean, look at the decorations. Drive through the woodlands, big angels, right? Always blowing trumpets. A little town of Bethlehem. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wandering love. It came upon a midnight clear. The entire song is about angels. Hark the herald angels sing, right, yeah. Glory to the newborn king. With angelic hosts proclaim Christ is born in Bethlehem. Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains. Silent night, heavenly host, sing alleluia. Christ the Savior is born. It came upon a midnight clear, angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men, from heaven's all-gracious King, the world in solemn stillness lay. to hear the angels sing. What a line. The world in solemn stillness. It's like the entire world goes, oh, shh, shh, quiet. Do you hear it? They're singing. Man. Oh, man, that gives me goosebumps. Okay, but, I mean, you could Google this question when you're not here. Do angels sing? Great thing to argue about because we don't have anything else. One very, very famous Bible teacher says that angels are incapable of singing because they've never been redeemed. And I'm like, turn on the radio. Lots of unredeemed people singing. They've got vocal cords. They talk. Of course they can sing. They praise, they worship, which you can do without singing, right? You can praise without singing. Do you have to sing to worship? No, of course not. But when you just kind of follow this story, you go back to the oldest book of the Bible, right? And Job and his friends have been going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then God shows up. And he asks Job this question. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? You know the answers. You weren't, right? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Who laid its cornerstone? So you imagine God, he's creating solar systems and galaxies, and there's just this crazy, powerful stuff, and stuff's just spinning around out there. Galaxies are eating little galaxies up for breakfast, and it's just awe-inspiring. And you can just imagine God saying, okay, I've got this little Milky Way here, and there's this little cul-de-sac over a teeny tiny side of the Milky Way. I'm going to put the earth right there, and it's going to be the exact right size in the exact right place with just the right tilt and just the right spin and just the right orbit around this tiny little star that they're going to think is huge. And I'm just going to put it right there, and it will just be perfect for sustaining life. Job, where were you when I did that? And guess what happened when he did that? The morning stars sang together, and the angels shouted for joy. Like, he puts it in place, and everybody's like, yeah! Woo-hoo! Let's sing, everyone! 1, 2, 3, right? Wow. Where were you? Yeah, I wasn't there. Psalm 103, great psalm. The Lord has established his throne in heaven. His kingdom rules over all. And then there's this list of everybody that should be praising. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you whose servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Like, I've got angels, I've got heavenly hosts, just everything, just all of it. Just praise the Lord, oh my soul. Psalm 148, praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him from the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moons. Praise him, all you shining stars. I didn't grow up in church. Did you grow up in a church where you sang the doxology? Praise him above ye heavenly host. And I love that because it's not like the angels were like, whoa, wait. This guy says we're supposed to be singing. Stop everything, guys. Right, it's like, We just want to join in. This God is worthy of praise. And you get to Isaiah 6, and there's these really strange creatures with six wings. Like, if you saw them, you would be scared to death, and which is why angels always said, do not fear. First thing. Six wings, and what are they doing? They're covering themselves and their feet, and they're just calling out to each other, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the place is shaking. I don't know if you've ever been a place that was so loud that it shook. This place was shaking. I don't know if they were singing, but they're just going back and forth with it. And the story that you love the most, the story that Linus reads when Charlie Brown screams out in frustration, does anybody know what Christmas is all about? And Linus takes his spot. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. I believe Linus reads what? Sore afraid? Sore afraid. They were sore afraid. Yeah, that's King James. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to the God in highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." And it says they were saying. Okay. Well, that messes up the Christmas songs, doesn't it? Well, hark, the herald angel said. Don't you dare, guys. I mean, what even rhymes with that, right? But we don't get our theology, we don't get our doctrine from songs, right? I mean, I remember Chuck Swindoll telling the story about baby Jesus and how he was just a baby, right? He ate, he had a dirty diaper, he cried, and he said, after the service, this man, lady came up to him and she was livid, so angry. How dare you talk about baby Jesus like that? The Bible says the little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. Yeah, that's a Christmas song. In case you guys know, that's not in the Bible, right? Okay, just, are we all together? Okay, yeah. And then you have these scenes in Revelation that we're not there yet. But there's just this living creature. He has six wings. He's covered in eyes. And they never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And these people are around the phone throwing down, and it says they're falling down and worshiping him. Revelation 5. The prayers of saints are coming up in these bowls full of incense. And it says, they sing a new song. These living creatures and these elders, and they're all surrounding the throne. They sing a song. "You're worthy to take the scrolls and open its seals. Because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men to God from every tribe and language and people and nation." Revelation 7. "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count. From every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne of the Lamb.' And all the angels were standing around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces and worshiped." Right? And then this beauty. "I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. And they encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And in a loud voice they sang, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise.' Then all the creatures join in." I love that. It says all the angels and all the creatures. It was like somebody put out the word, "Hey guys, we need to get back." Use the word myriad. That's a word sometimes the Bible uses in the old languages when they've got a number so big they're not sure what to do with it. So let's just say myriad. 10,000 times 10,000. I am not good at math. But that's a lot of zeros. That's eight zeros. That's 100 million. What does praise sound like from 100 million voices? In 2019, the NCAA had their largest year-long attendance. They added up all the people who attended college football games, and it was 47 million. And that's every week of the football season combined, 47 million. So you might go to a stadium, and maybe you have. Maybe you've been to a college football game where there were 100,000, 110,000 people. I grew up in Knoxville, and I worked in a Coca-Cola stand up to my ankles in ice water and Coke for hours, filling up those little trays. Those guys walk around, and it was the third largest stadium. It was 110,000 people, and I was there the day that Tennessee beat Alabama for the first time in like 15 years. I don't know if they've done it since I was a kid, and it was the year Bear Bryant retired, because when Tennessee beats you, you just retire. It's like, what's wrong with me, right? So, but when they won, it was 110,000 people. It was deafening. 100 million? 100 million? Praising the Lord? Wow. So the angels, They sang at creation. They were worshiping at the dawning of the new creation, the birth of Christ. Something new is happening. They will sing when all creation is made new. They praise. It seems to be what they do so well. And I have to say this. Do you know when else angels worship? That time Jesus was having lunch with some tax collectors and sinners. He was just with a bunch of nasty, dirty people having lunch. And the Pharisees were like, what is he doing? Does he know how unclean he is right now? Why is he hanging out with people like that? And he started telling stories. Suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully till she finds it? So you picture that? I lost a coin. I've only got 10. Light the lamp, find it, sweep. Oh, there it is. And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I've found my lost coin. And in the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. When you repented, let's just say, when you trusted Jesus to save you, there was a party in heaven with the angels. A party. You. I come to Jesus. I kind of sometimes in my mind think, they go, why that one? That one's better. Yeah. No, they just praised. They threw a party. That neighbor you have, party. Imagine a party in heaven and your name is on there. Oh, why are we partying now? It was that one. Can't help but sing at a party, right? I don't know. So, let's wrap this up a minute. Let's go just back to the idea of Christmas can be hard, life can be hard. There's this, it came upon a midnight clear, this third verse. Golly, I love this verse. I'll modernize it a bit because it's a very old song. And you, so whoever wrote it's looking at you. You, beneath life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low, who toil along the climbing way with painful steps and slow. That's weary and heavy laden, right? So what is he saying? The songwriter is picturing someone whose life load is hard and heavy, and your step isn't as fast as it used to be, and you're going uphill, and you're bent trying to carry all this stuff on your back, and life is just weighing you down, and life is hard, and life is discouraging, and you want to give up. And he says, look now, ! Look. So you're crushed, you're bending low. He says, look up, look. And you look. Glad and golden hours come swiftly on the wing. Rest beside the weary road and hear the angels sing. Stop what you're doing. Rest and listen. The angels are singing. And I'm imagining it's passionate. I'm imagining it's wholehearted. I can't even begin to imagine an angel looking at its watch and wondering, when is this going to be over? We've got lunch, right? When I talked to Kennedy in Kenya about their worship service, let me start on Saturday morning. I've never told this before. On Saturday morning, five women show up at the church. Used to be three, they've recruited two more. Five women show up at the church and they start praying. And they pray all day long. Kennedy shows up in the late afternoon, evening, and he teaches them. He spends some time teaching the Bible to them. He leaves and then they start praying again. And they spend the night in the church building. They just sleep there. And they wake up the next morning. Can you guess what they do? they start praying again. And then everybody starts coming in, and they go home at 2, because that's when church ends, 2 o'clock. The very first church I pastored was in this tiny little village. There were 2 churches. There had been 3. There had been a Methodist church, but we were down to 2 Baptist churches, and the population is like 150 people, but we're down to 2 churches. An African-American Baptist church, and then a white folk Baptist church. The nearest blinking light was 5 miles away. But if you wanted a real live traffic white light, you had to go 15 the other direction. And that's where on Sunday you go to town to eat. And you come back, and the folks in the African-American Baptist church, they were still singing. As a matter of fact, they were just getting wound up. I was done with lunch, and I was going to go home and take a nap, and they're still trucking. And I'm like, I just don't know if I'd make it in a church like that. They've got to be hungry, right? And they're just wholehearted. They're going after it, right? And I guess the angels are going, yeah, that's how it's done, right? You go in Kenya, and he's like, well, we do this, and then we sing for an hour, right? An hour? You sing for an hour? I mean, like, if I told the worship team we're going an hour next week, I mean, how many? They'd have to stock up on some songs, wouldn't they? I mean, I watched the videos from Kenya, and they're like, they'll just sing the same song for 10 minutes. They don't care. It's good. Let's just keep singing it, right? You guys would be like, oh, you go crazy. I would. I don't have that kind of focus. They're just passionate. We can praise without singing. We can even sing sometimes without praising. But the Bible tells us, Psalm 150 says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And what you see is that wherever on planet Earth, wherever in the deepest jungle or in the desert, the highest mountain, the deepest valley, wherever the name of Jesus goes, wherever the church starts, you get 2 people together and they're going to sing. Somebody's going to write a song in that language and they're just going to start singing. Where the gospel goes, singing goes. But can I tell you something? Someone always beats you to worship no matter how early you get here. You're on Saturday, somebody's already singing, somebody's already worshiping, the angels are. Someone always joins you in worship. You think I'm alone in my car. Well, you've got an angel. I don't know, I can't see, but I know they're serving you, they're protecting you. Maybe they multitask, maybe they sing with you, right? You're just never alone. You're always with another worshiper. Are we going to sing another song? I forgot to ask. We're going to sing another song. Okay, good. Just encourage you to stop and listen. If you're under a heavy load this morning, just know that there's worship going on. If you can't bring yourself to sing, it's happening. And the heavenly hosts are ministering to you in song, and they're just saying, just look up to Jesus. Even if you can't raise your voice, look to Jesus. So, if we can imagine, the number is at least 100 million. So we're going to sing a last song. There's 100 million plus us. We're going to sing. I don't know what language they're singing in. I like to think they sing with a southern accent, but that's just me. They may be singing in Hebrew, Greek. Who knows? I want to pray and we're going to sing. And can you just, I want you, in your heart, I just want you to see it and hear it. 100 million voices. Will you, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your encouraging word this morning. And when the earth was put in place with the most exacting of specifications, change it a little and we're not here. But when that happened, there was singing. There was singing. Before we were even thought of, there was singing. For the ones in this room who were just kind of feeling bent low, May they know that right now in this moment you're worthy of praise, that there's never a second of any day or any night or any afternoon that you are not worthy of praise. And the angels are not praising you just because they have to. The angels are praising you because they can't contain themselves. You're that worthy of 24/7 praise. So thank you, God, for creating angels who minister to us and serve us. And thank you for showing us how wholeheartedly and passionately they praise you. Because in the praise is your worth. In the praise is your honor. In the praise is your glory. You are worth it. You're worth it. And so we join in, Lord, even as we leave. It's so good to join in. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In Christ's name we pray.